Valerie, how are you this morning?
Hello, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We have a guy here in the studio. His name's Jay. He's like 52 years old. And yesterday I was mentioning that I was going to be talking to you today. And he literally gasped for air and put his hand over his heart. And he was like, oh, Barbara Cooper, my first love. I love Valerie Bertinelli. I'm sure you hear that all the time.
So sweet. Thank you.
Do you hear that a lot?
Tell him thank you.
I will tell him that. And then, as I've been researching you, getting ready for this interview, I realized why all men love you because, one, you love rock and roll music. That's a check. You check the box there. You're an amazing cook. So, check another box there. And you love football. I mean, what a man's woman. You are the perfect woman. Is that true?
Yeah, I do love football. Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I that's what happens when you grow up with three brothers and an amazing Italian family where you learn how to cook at a young age.
Yeah, I follow you on Twitter. By the way, if you'd like to follow Valerie Bertinelli on Twitter, she's at Wolfie's mom, of course, her son, Wolfie Van Halen. I love the Twitter handle. I was following you on Twitter over the weekend, and I'm quoting you. This is a tweet from Valerie, quote, "Holy shit, hashtag Buffalo versus Kansas City." So some pretty good football this weekend, right?
Oh, my goodness. Those games this weekend were insane. I mean, I couldn't settle down. I was so hyped up after watching that. Oh, my God. Yeah. I was really rooting for Buffalo just because I was a big Jim Kelly fan back in the day. So I wanted to see them do well, and Josh Allen, what a god. So, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was an amazing ride over the weekend. So do you have a favorite team? Is Buffalo like your team, or do you kind of like different teams because of different players?
Well, both my teams are not in the playoffs this year, so I have to start rooting for people that I like and team members that I like. I'm at that part of the year right now. I am a big Saints fan. I've been a Saints fan since 79 when my parents lived there, and we became because we've moved all across the country. For a long time I was a Lions fan because we lived in Michigan, Philly fan because I was born in Delaware, so I lived there for a while, really close to Philly, and I'm also a Cleveland Browns fan because I did a show called Hot in Cleveland.
So there you go. You really do like a lot of squads. It's probably hard figuring out what jersey you're going to wear on Sundays. And Valerie, I'm thinking about having a Super Bowl party. And of course, when you invite people over, they should bring a dish, whether it be a queso or maybe some special ribs that you make. If Valerie Bertinelli, which by the way, you're invited if you want to come over. I live in Southern Florida. What dish is Chef Valerie Bertinelli bringing to the Super Bowl party?
Well, it depends. I'd need to know who was going to be there. I mean, usually around this time of year is I like to make gumbo. I mean, and I made a huge pot of gumbo when the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009. Gumbo's good, or any kind of chicken wings. I mean, that's always good, obviously, but there's so many different ways that you can cook them. I have a bunch of recipes online of different ways you can make them. It depends on who's going to be there. If there's going to be some vegetarians there, I want to make sure that they're going to have a full belly as well.
What are you making for the vegetarians? Because that's always a tough thing for me. It's like the meat is so easy to please the meat eaters. It's a little more difficult to please those vegetarians.
Right. Well, you can make a big, you can take some cabbage and you can take some arugula. You can make a really big, hearty salad. You can put some chickpeas in there. It all depends on the dressing. The dressing is what really makes it. If you want to hit it with the ranch because that tastes good, there are vegan ranch recipes out there. All kinds of things you can do. And plus these new meat substitutes are really great on the grill these days. So there's a bunch of stuff you can do.
Our guest, Valerie Bertinelli, she has a new book out called Enough Already, and she's been writing books. She's had a couple of big bestsellers, so she's not new to this game. You talk a lot about heartache in the book, and I want to go back to you're 15 years old. You're on this huge sitcom in the 70s, One Day at a Time. And we hear all these tragic stories about child actors being abused and mistreated. Is this something that you experienced as a child, either yourself or a co-star or a friend? Is these just rumors, the way the kids are treated, or was that the way that it was in the 70s and 80s?
I think I was very, very lucky that there were no predators on our set because it was run by Norman Lear, and it was run, and Bonnie Franklin had a big thing, a lot of say in that, and she was very protective. So I think I was very, very lucky that I grew up with a network and in an environment in a production company where there weren't any predators, at least towards me or Mackenzie. And I think And even in a lot of the kids that I was, you know, going to school with at the time on the set. So I was incredibly lucky, and other kids maybe not so much. And I just think we need to start giving a voice to all of these kids who aren't kids any longer and have suffered great traumas.
Yeah, it does seem like, though, that with the Me Too movement and the fact that the internet and this information can't be hidden, that it does seem like Hollywood's getting cleaned up a little bit. There's always some dirt bags, but and that's with anything.
And it's not just Hollywood. I mean, you look at the way some women are treated at all these, you know, big companies. I mean, come on. I mean, we're still trying to deal with, you know, not being paid the same amount as men. It's really getting ridiculous until we start holding, you know, these big companies, and it's not even the companies accountable any longer. But when you see CEOs take home pay that is 300 times what the workers are making, it's a little cray-cray.
Well, when you were just a young woman, 20 years old, you went to a Van Halen concert as a 20-year-old young girl, and you fall in love with the great Eddie Van Halen. Can you talk about him? By the way, I'm very sorry for your loss. Very sad reading that story, but he must have left so many great memories. I'm curious, how did he charm you when you first met him? Was it love at first sight? How did that love story come about?
It was definitely love at first sight. He's got that smile. You know, everyone's seen that beautiful impish grin that Ed had. He just sparkled. His eyes sparkled when he really, truly smiled. And that, you know, he lost that smile for a while, and it was really hard to watch. He got it back near the end. And we just connected immediately. He was super duper shy, but we made a connection, and I gave him my phone number, and he didn't call me for 3 days. We didn't have cell phones back then in the early 80s, guys, so I was like, oh, is he going to call? I would sit by the phone at my parents' house because I was staying in Shreveport. It was during the actor strike in 1980. And he finally did call, and then I went to go visit him and go to a show, and then we were never apart. We got married 8 months later.
And what was your favorite, or maybe you still have a favorite Van Halen song? Is it hard for you now? It's only been a few months since we lost him, but have you put on any Van Halen records?
I have. There's one intro, the intro to Women in Love. I've always loved. It's just so beautiful. Sometimes Ed would play it in the middle of his solo. He didn't play it often, but sometimes when I was out on the road, he would play it and look over to the side of the stage to make sure that I heard it. I just out of the blue sometimes, I'd just say, Ed, could you play it? And he would play it for me. It's such a beautiful intro. It's such a beautiful, beautifully written piece.
People always think of Eddie Van Halen and his guitar, which, one of the greatest. But a piano is really where he got his first love for music, right? Would he play piano for you a lot?
All the time. We had a beautiful baby grand in the house. He would just be plinking on it all the time anyway. And that got Wolfie interested in it when Wolfie was little. And, I mean, you can even see in the video for Distance, that Wolfie's Mammoth WVH song. And, from a young child all the way until he's, you know, older, you can see him and Ed always at the piano or with a guitar or on the drums and... there was always a musical instrument somewhere in the house that could pique Wolfie's interest. And Ed always even have a guitar, you know, pretty much full time in his arms when he was at home. There was guitars laying all over sofas, against walls.
Your son Wolfie he's got to be something right now in your life that is putting warm feelings in your heart at all times. I know you've been through a lot here recently. Is he the one thing that's been keeping a smile on your face?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he'll come over and hang out with the kiddies with his girlfriend. I'll make them dinner. I'll go over to his place and make them dinner. Yeah, between him and he and Drea and just spending time, he is a light in my life for sure.
And who came up with the name Wolfie? It's definitely an interesting name to name your child Wolfie, but it sticks. I love it. Wolfie Van Halen. It sounds like a band.
Well, it's hard to put a name with Van Halen. It's such a strong name, you know? I mean... So we were watching Amadeus, and we thought, oh my God, that's such a great name, Wolfgang. The way she says Wolfie, Elizabeth Barrett, the way she says Wolfie, Wolfie all through the movie, I just loved the sound of that. And we had a couple of the girls' names picked out. I didn't know what we were having. We kept that a secret until the baby was born. And we only had Wolfgang picked out because we thought it was perfect, and Ed loved it because Mozart, of course. And what I didn't realize at the time is, those are some two pretty heavy names to, you know, put onto a child and say, okay, here's your name, live up to it.
Let's talk about this book that you've written. Not your first rodeo with writing a book. You had some bestsellers, you know, 10 years ago, but this book you've written is really inspiring. You really strip yourself down, expose your heartache. You talk about how you learn how to prioritize your health and your happiness. But the book is titled Enough Already. So I'm curious to know, what was the defining moment when you actually said enough already? What led to that? And what led to you titling the book Enough Already?
Well, I was going to do a cooking segment a few years back for the Today Show. I do them monthly. And they wanted me to do something in the new year, you know, lose 10 pounds or whatever you want to do. And I thought, God, am I really going to do this again? Put myself on a diet again and then just lose the weight, gain it back. I want to get off this treadmill. I want to change the script a little bit. So I thought, well, what if I actually find joy and am happy with who I am today in this body, and then maybe my body will follow when I start taking care of my mental health and my emotional health. So that's the journey I started going on, and then COVID hit and Ed got sicker, and then I started writing the book after Ed passed, and it just became this finding joy through all of the hardships, the grief that we're, you know, all of us were going through in the country with COVID, and just trying to still hold on to the gratitude that we all can feel in our life.
And I've heard you say that Betty White was an inspiration to you. I've also heard you say that those 5 years that you were on the set with her in the hit show Hot in Cleveland, which, by the way, you can stream out there on the internet if you want to go back and watch some of those old episodes. But you said it was a very satisfying 5 years in your life. And I know Huey Lewis said the heart of rock and roll is in Cleveland. What made this time in your life so special?
Just, you know, working and becoming friends with the master. You know, Betty was the best of television. She was the best of a work ethic. She was the best of someone who really lives firmly in gratitude. And I got to learn so many lessons. And along with that, have such a joyful time. I mean, Betty and Wendy and Jane and I, we laughed every single day. We had so much fun. It was the best time that I've ever had in my career.
When was the last time you talked to Betty? Were you able to talk to her close to when she passed?
I wasn't able to talk to her, but I would send her videos of me and the cats because she loved seeing animals. I knew she would watch the video, and I'd send videos to her assistant, Kirsten, and say, please show this to Betty. I miss her. And then Kirsten would text me back immediately and say, yes, Betty loved it. And she sent me a video after I won the Daytime Emmys for Valerie's Home Cooking. And on the stage, I hadn't written anything. I really didn't believe I was going to win. And so I said, I just want to be the Betty White of Food Network and be here forever. And Betty just thought that was a hoot. So she did a little video for me so I could see it.
And I hear you're cooking up something new with the Food Network. That last name of yours, Bertinelli, is such a beautiful Italian name. Are you guys working on, I know you love a nice Italian dish, but I read somewhere, I think, that you guys are going to be going over to Italy and, you know, learning more about your heritage and learning about great Italian food. Is that true?
That's exactly true, and I'm so excited. We're going to go over in May, and we're going to film for a month, and we're going to film up and down. We're going to start at the top of Italy and work our way down to Pompeii. I'm going to start where my great-grandmother lived in Lanzo Tortonese and figure out where she, you know, sold her gelato. She made homemade gelato so that she could come across to save money to come to America. She worked in a home in San Remo as the house chef. So I want to just start there and work my way down to even Nazareno Bertinelli, my grandfather. He lived not far from the chocolate capital of Italy. So, yeah, we're going to do that. I'm super excited.
Valerie Bertinelli, our guest. Her new book is called Enough Already. Also follow her on Twitter at Wolfie's Mom. How many cats does Wolfie's Mom have? Because every time I see on Twitter, you've got a different cat. How many are in the house?
Too many and not enough. We'll put it. I had four cats, and then once my parents passed, I took their two cats, so I now have six.
And who cleans all the litter boxes in the Bertinelli household?
I have help during the week, but on the weekends, it's all me. It's just here, and I have two litter boxes. One, I have this really kind of fun catio for the cats out on the porch where they can watch the birds and have fun, and I have another one out by the laundry room. So, yeah, they get cleaned twice a day, morning and night.
And I know all the gentlemen that are listening to the show, they all, you know, they want to get that woman that loves football, that can cook, and loves rock and roll music. So I'm just wondering, are you available on the market right now? Are you dating? What's going on in the love life?
I'm having the best time being alone. I'm having the time of my life just getting to know myself. I never really got to know myself because I married Ed so young. It's all about being alone right now, but I'm still loving football, and I'm still loving cooking, and I still love sharing all that with everyone.
Well, maybe at some point you will find true love again. I know you say a heartwarming story you can read on the internet about Eddie's final moments and some of the things you said. Just, it does take your breath away. Thank you so much for your time, Valerie, and good luck with the book and the cooking show, and we're big fans, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.